If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and I'll do my best to preach that fire, brother, and be a blessing to you tonight, to help you at the same time. Try to encourage you to live for Christ. And this is real basic, but it's so much needed. And like the brother says, in many churches that we have visited, you know, in many churches we go into, it's like, what did we do here? What in the world is going on here? And that's just the way it is. It is a sad thing. So you, listen, you don't take for granted what you have here. And love that book and love the Christ of that book. Amen? And listen. God uses your pastor to labor in that book and to try to help you, try to help the children. Amen? So you listen and do something about it. Amen? Don't just listen, but do something about it. Don't be hearers only, but doers of the Word of God. Amen. Tonight, this is basically my testimony, and it should be your testimony if you're saved, and Lord willing, be somebody else's testimony. It will just go out and tell somebody. Because what God has shown you, you ought to go show others. That's basically what we're doing as human beings that are saved by the blood of Christ. We're supposed to go out and reproduce ourselves. Amen? When you got saved, you're a little baby. You had to be grown and shown some things and grown the grace of God and desire the sincere milk of the Word. And then as you got older and older, hopefully that's the case, allow God to teach you and grow you up. Amen? That you're able to teach others and be able to commit to them, to faithful men, and also women to do what they're supposed to do and get that balance in there. That's the problem with the churches today. They got the balance out of whack. And there is a way of authority that God has set up. But anyway, I better stay on the subject here. Thank God that we're going to be leaving for the field soon. And it is our desire to go down to Mexico and show these folks by the power of God. You know, I'm nothing. I understand that. I'm nothing. But I do have a responsibility to show something. Not just what I say, but what I do. And same thing with Carol. And if he gives us some little ones, we need to train them up so we can be an example. To show those people what God desires. Amen? And that is a Christian that is desires to be separated unto him, sanctified for his work and for his will and for his glory. And that means there's going to have to be some major changes that go on. We'll go down there and start a church, sure. Get a national in there and train them up. But for that to happen, it's going to take time, number one, because they're going to be watching you and they need to see something. It's going to take time for them to see something, amen, and then to hear something. But in order for that to take off, to have churches established down there and then those churches go out and establish other churches, we need the Holy Spirit, amen, and they're going to need the Holy Spirit. We're going to try to have churches there that are according to God's word. So yes, that church will be indigenous. But wherever the custom, wherever their culture and all that goes against the scripture, it's got to change. And some missionaries don't see that and don't understand that. So by God's grace, we'll stick close to the word of God, amen, which is very plain in any language. In any language. Mark chapter 5, in the beginning verses here, the several verses here that talk about this maniac of Gadara that Jesus Christ comes over to as he is given this opportunity for his disciples and for many people to see his power, to see how great and powerful he is. But not only that, but to help a man change. A man that was just full of the devil. And maybe some of you were like this before you got saved, or maybe not this bad. But let me explain something before we go on, and I'll read a few passages of Scripture here in this, right here, just as a launching pad, okay? So what I really want to explain to you is the testimony that we ought to have, or ought to be found for someone who just gotten saved. And I'll just go back and look at my life and see, this is exactly what took place in my life. The testimony that should be of someone who's met the Lord Jesus Christ. This man right here met the Lord Jesus Christ, and something happened to him. And what a wonderful thing it is to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's continue to meet with him. Amen? Let's do that. In chapter 5 here, the maniac of Gadara, this man was full of the devil, to where he was out in the tombs. He was cutting himself. He probably had a nasty mouth on him. Very strong, supernaturally strong. No man could hold him and secure him. For the sake of time, I'm just telling you what's going on here. And there are some people like that in the world today. And even in Mexico, they probably have that, because down in Mexico, they've got some voodoo stuff going down there. And when someone really is demon-possessed, or devil-possessed, however you want to say it, they can be pretty wild and be hard to control and hard to handle. And then we have that today. You still have folks that worship Satan and do some wild things. I mean, what is it that a man would go out, or a young man and get together with another man, if that's possibly how it's been happening, and go around shooting people in the Northeast? What is that? Romans chapter 1. Without natural affection. And listen, until you come to Christ and let Christ be your Savior, your father is the devil. If I were you, I'd change daddies. I would change daddies. Because the Father in heaven, he's a better daddy than the other one. Oh, he'll promise you some things, he'll give you a little pleasure here on earth, but he's lying to you. It's only for a season, sin for a season. Sorry, there's only pleasure and sin for a season is what the Bible says. But this man right here is pretty bad off. We still have those folks in the big cities near water, mountains and things of that nature. You've got them right here in town, folks like this that are pretty bad. But let's not just leave it there. Let's go on the other perspective too. Those that are self-righteous, those that think, oh, I'm okay, and they're real nice people, and they're kind people, and they're very religious people, but they themselves also have a different spirit because they're not saved. So whether you're really deep down in the mud and of sin and all that, and you're wicked as all get out, and it's very obvious by the way you look and the way you talk and the way you act, or if you're righteous and holy and pure sanctified and of God or whatever it may be, whatever religion it may be, you're still bad off, just like the guy that's way down there. Because without Christ, you're without God, without hope in this world. And so you're just like this maniac. So this maniac is just not for this kind of guy right here. The maniac is for anyone that is not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're not saved, you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But let me say something, Christian. If you're a born-again Christian tonight, you have all the Holy Spirit that you can ever get. But you need to be filled with that Spirit on a daily basis. That's what he talks about in Ephesians chapter 5. Amen? Be not drunk wherein excess with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit. And that's important. Daddies, you need to desire that. Mamas, you need to desire that. Your children need to see an example of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Because right now, you know, Holy Spirit, what's that? You know, I don't understand this thing. And as they're growing up, they need to see an example of that. So very important to be in touch with God and His Holy Spirit have His way with you. Amen. That's where we fail. But as far as a testimony, what should be seen in a born-again Christian? Someone to come across one. A born-again, blood-bought Christian. Someone who's been saved by the glorious power of the Lord God Almighty through His Son, Lord Jesus Christ, redeeming them from the destination of hell and giving them a power to live a new life here. The Bible does say that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are what? Become new. And I understand it doesn't happen overnight, and certain things have to take place. You have to just get closer to God and be obedient to Him in order to see some of that fruit manifested. Amen? Amen. And the last thing you want to do is lead someone to Christ and leave them hanging. You want to be able to disciple that person and show them the rest of the story. And so here, with this maniac of Gadara, as bad as he was, he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and just a very small conversation went on with that demon or that devil that he had. And Christ gloriously performed a great miracle and cast that spirit, that uncleared spirit legion, out of this man. And something happened to him. And that's what people in this world need. There's a meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ where something happens to them and makes them a better person. And you know how this guy was before, right? Just a matter of time before his life was taken because of all the demonic suppression that was upon him. And even people that are all nice and sweet and everything like that and holy, you know, some of those people don't make it too long. They end up committing suicide. You know, why would anybody want to commit suicide? Isn't life a fun thing to live? Isn't life worth living? Well, I guess if you don't know what life's all about and why it's all about, I can see why you would do something like that. People are out there in this world today are full of the devil because that's all they have. That's all they know. That's all they know. They're maniacs. You need to remember that. When you go out there and deal with people, they're maniacs, okay? Some are worse than others. I understand that. But they're maniacs. And if we could just somehow be a blessing, a light to those maniacs of this world, there might be one in here tonight. No offense. But if you're without Christ, there's something not right. And I'm not trying to offend you. Listen, I'm just trying to let you know that without Christ, you're in trouble. Not only in this world, but in the world to come. Because when you die, you will not be able to go to heaven. You'll stand before God at white throne judgment. It's going to be a rough time. Let's not let that happen. Let's go out there and show these folks, these people. Love them. But you love them by being kind to them and showing them the gospel by not only what you say, but what you do. So that they have an opportunity to get this testimony that's so very important. This testimony that not only helps themselves and help their families and help their community, but help even worlds, nations beyond this continent. This testimony that's so very important that Christ can give an individual. So what happened to this possessed man? What happened to this maniac when he met the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 15. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. That's what you found this man doing. And just these three things right here, if you give me just a little of your time tonight, let's consider those things about your testimony and where you are. Where you've come from if you're saved here tonight, and where you are today, and where you plan on going with this kind of a testimony. He had it immediately. I understand that's a wild thing. But you can take this stuff and apply it to your life on a daily basis. Matter of fact, you need to apply it to your life on a daily basis if you're going to be the testimony you ought to be out in this lost and dying world. So can we look at that tonight? This thing about being found sitting clothed in our right mind? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for salvation, for the love that you have shown us by the cross of Calvary, Lord. But Jesus Christ paid a great price for that. He suffered and went through many great things and sorrows, Lord, to bring this to pass. But you did it, Jesus. You got up from the dead, and now we can have the same. Not only a new resurrection of life at the coming of Christ, but also a new walkness in life down here on this earth, that this flesh here, this body of ours, Lord, and the world and the devil do not have to have victory over us. Father, please bless tonight. Please open up the ears and be help remind some folks, Lord. And if someone doesn't realize these things, Lord, help them to see how important it is to trust you and let you work through them, Father. In your Son's name, who's made it all possible for our relationship with you, being reconciled to you, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Boy, I love Jesus Christ. You know why? He's my friend. He is my friend. He has taught me so much. He has helped me so much. He has helped me make decisions that were good decisions. He's brought so many things into my life that have helped me and have blessed me. Hello, this young lady right here, the Lord brought her to me. And you say, well, brother, just you wait, you know, down the road. You'll see, you know, how it's all about. Listen to me and listen to me very closely. I understand all about that. But as long as she loves the Lord and does what she's supposed to do, and I love the Lord and do what I'm supposed to do, we're just like spokes on a wheel. As we go towards the hub, we get closer to each other. As we get closer to God, God being in the center of that wheel. Amen? Or a pyramid, the same thing. When you're in a pyramid, you know, God's at the top here. If we work closer towards getting closer to God, we'll get closer to each other. And it is possible, but you need to be willing. Amen? Well, anyway, here's your testimony. Here's your testimony. Number one, you're found sitting. Number two, you're found clothed. And number three, you're found in your right mind. Now, turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Or should I say Ephesians chapter 4. And in this passage of scripture here in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to take this and look at this and apply these principles that we see over here in Mark. How this man was found sitting and clothed in his right mind. And see how we can apply that to our lives. So that when people see us, they can see these things and hopefully desire it. You know, it's important that God draws men, draws people, you know, unto him. And in order to do that, they've got to have something. God uses something. He uses you and I. The Holy Spirit speaks to them, but he also uses you and I, to do that. Isn't that why you went out calling tonight? You went out to talk to people, to see people, to be a vessel to be used to maybe wake somebody up or get somebody's attention to desire the things of God. Because if people will seek after God, they'll find them. They'll find them. But a lot of people aren't seeking after God because they're maniacs and they need someone to help them. Hey, wake up, you know. Trying to shake them up, you know. You need Christ. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll change your life. He'll help you. Man. So here in Ephesians chapter 5, what we have here in the chapter 4, excuse me, Ephesians chapter 4, you have here that the Holy Spirit of God working in man and the ministry of it, of how now that Christ is in us and we have the Holy Spirit, we can do some things. And if you notice verse 12, it says, it's for the perfecting of the saints that he has given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, these people that are filled with the Holy Spirit and understand God and have gone through some things and can relate and give you something to help you do the same. Amen? That's what we're here for. That's what I'm going to Mexico for, is to teach and to guide and direct them by giving them the Word of God. I'm just a messenger, that's all. A messenger by the Word of God, a messenger by example. Amen? That's all. And that's what we all need to work towards, is to be a messenger, by not only by God's Word, getting in here and understanding it and what it says, but also be an example, which means being practical, put it to work. Amen? So he says this, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, that by every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What in the world did I just say? You know what you are here in this building? You are a church. God has saved you, and you're a part of this family. You are the church. His body. Amen? Okay. Now, it would be nice if the hand would do what the hand's supposed to do, and the foot would do what the foot's supposed to do, and the nose would do what the nose is supposed to do, head do what it's supposed to do, and because if you do that, then everything will be in unity. Okay? For instance, here's my body right there. If I want to do a karate stance, I don't know how you do that, but I'll do something that might look like it, so I'll convince you. Then I've got to tell the whole world, the whole body, to do that. Okay? So everything's got to be in place. If anything's off, then it's not going to be good. So go like that, see? It's amazing how quickly I did that, though. But it took everything, right, to work together to get that, okay? You say, what in the world are you talking about? Listen, if you're going to go out there and fight our adversary, if you're going to take the gospel of the grace of God to this world, then inside here, as a body of Christ, you need to be working together. And there needs to be unity. Okay? But how is that unity established? By letting the testimony of Christ be in your life. How do you do that? The next verses. You save here tonight, you should have a testimony. What kind of testimony? Verse 17, this I say therefore, testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. That you were there, you were blinded to the light shown, and Christ was shown unto you, and you came to the light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about that. And the devil's out there to blind people from the knowledge of Christ. 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then it gives you a list of things to do in order to accomplish that. That right there, that passage right there. That's how you do it. So what's that got to do with Mark? What was he found? He was found sitting. He was found clothed. And he was found in his right mind. Is that your testimony tonight? Number one, he's found sitting. What was he doing there sitting? He was listening. He was learning. What he was doing, he was being discipled. Look at verse 20. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Right? John chapter 1 talks about how Jesus Christ is the light of the world, right? He's the light of the world. He enlightens men's lives. What is it? It's the truth. It's the word. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And John chapter 1 talks about the word became flesh. And so Jesus Christ is truth. That's what the world needs. They need to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth. Absolute truth. And when you meet this man, Jesus Christ, you're going to find out. He's going to show you something. He's going to show that you need him as a Savior. And then when you receive him as your Savior, you know what's going to happen? You should be found sitting. You should be found being discipled. Okay? And that's what it is. That's what discipleship is all about. That's what being discipled is following Christ and following after Christ. Amen? Did he not gather disciples unto him? What did he do with them for 3.5 years? He taught them. Not by word only, but by example. And that's the greatest kind of discipleship there can be, brother. Is not just by word, but by example as well. Not just going through a bunch of lessons and just going through the scripture, but demonstrating those scriptures in your life. See what that means? That means it's going to take some time. You that are born again, children of God, you need to put yourself under the subjection of the Word of God and listen to it and hear it. And put yourself in subjection to the Holy Spirit, who will teach you and guide you in the Word of God. And you've got a church here that will enable you to do that. Amen? But you've got a home, too, and you've got your own time that you can open up that Bible and get close to God. You need to be found sitting, doing something. You need to be found learning of Christ. And that's the way it ought to be. That's what he said. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way you should be found. If you're a born-again child of God tonight, you should be found sitting, listening to the Savior. Amen? What did Jesus say when Martha came to him and said, hey, get Mary to help me? He said, oh, you're cumbered about with much working, and it's good that you should work, but Mary has chosen the good part, and she's sitting here at my feet listening to me. That's very important. So don't get so busy in the work of God that you forget to listen to him and spend time with him. You know how to do it. You know how to do it. You know how to get close to the Lord. You just need to do it. Amen? So where were you found? Where was I found when I got saved? After I got saved and found out what I was supposed to do, next thing to do, get baptized. You know, when I started getting the Word of God, I found, number one, I should be found sitting reading my Bible. You all reading your Bible? Every day? If you let a day go by without reading your Bible, you're asking for trouble. That Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from that Bible. I believe that. I've seen it in my own life. I've tested these areas, okay? The Lord's grown me up. I've messed up a few times. Not greatly, but in understanding how important it is to read the Word of God. So I try to get that thing every day. One proverb a day, keep the devil away, amen? Okay, maybe not so, but it's good to read the proverb. Man, if you read the proverb once a day, you know what you do? You go through the Bible, through Proverbs, once every month and 12 times a year. Amen. That's a good suggestion. If you get anything out of the message tonight, read a proverb a day. Young people, you need it. We all need it. We need to be found sitting reading the Bible. He was sitting there listening to Jesus Christ, and that's how we listen to Christ. We read his Bible. All right, we need to be found sitting in church, hearing the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God. He was sitting there listening to Jesus as he was teaching after he'd got that demon thrown out of him. Amen? So there's a couple of things. And here, let me give you another one. He was found sitting in the fellowship with believers. And that's so very important because we need each other. We need each other. We need some godly folks. We need some people that are close with the Lord so it can rub off on those that aren't so godly. That those that have been saved not too long, they need an example. They need someone to help them. You understand what I'm talking about? We need that fellowship together. And it's not just here in the church, but it's at home too. You ought to spend some time with each other. Not come here and be strangers. You know, oh, that's good to see you. I haven't seen you all week. You know what I'm talking about? Now, you deal with it however the Lord deals with you on it. But I think it's very fellowship with one another is very important. Amen? But a good place to do that is come to church and fellowship with one another, as well as hear the preaching of the Word of God. So you should be found sitting, reading your Bible, sitting and hearing the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, and sitting in fellowship with one another. Amen? Well, that'll bring unity, won't it? That'd be a good testimony. Amen. Get to know each other, love one another, and have opportunities to demonstrate that to one another. Secondly, he was found clothed. When I think of that word clothed, I think dressed. You put something on when you're clothed. And he was naked, and he was doing some wild stuff there in the tomb. But when he got right with God, or God, he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he put some clothes on. Now, let me show you some verses here in Ephesians about what I'm trying to tell you here, okay? Verse 17. This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Okay? So he said, don't walk like other Gentiles. Don't walk like you used to walk if you're saved. Amen? Now, when you got saved, didn't you ask God to come in and change you? Then why would you want to continue in the way you're living, eh? Okay. Something's got to change, right? So don't walk like other Gentiles walk. But watch something else here. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from God through the ignorance, and doing those things that they were doing because they didn't have God, and they didn't seek after God, and they didn't care about God, right? So they did things that they wanted to do, the natural man doing what he wants to do. And believe me, man can go pretty low and stoop low in his ungodliness. Well, that shouldn't be found among a Christian, a born-again Christian. It's not your testimony. It shouldn't be your testimony. No matter how grave it is or how small the thing is. Watch this. Let's go even further. Verse 22. I like this one. That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust. You better believe they're deceitful. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Notice that phrase there, he says in verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. That conversation is not just what you're talking, it's what you were doing, how you're living. The Bible talks about that when he uses the word conversation. So not just what you say, it's what you were doing. Now, I can go through a list, and he goes through a list of things here, too. And it's not just outwardly things, it's inwardly things, too. You understand what I'm talking about? It's not just going out there to the bars and drinking or dressing like a whore, excuse me. It's not just that, but it's also the inside, the pride, the envy, the strife, and all that. All of that stuff needs to change. You need to put off that old man and his ways and put on the new man, which is Christ Jesus. For you ladies, it says the hidden man of the heart. Amen? That's why he has things like 1 Peter chapter 3 and the things that he gives in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and shows us how we should, you know, live our lives, but things we say and how we should act. Amen? It's so very important. And I'm so glad that you have a pastor that's into that stuff. Amen? I appreciate that, brother. But you're to be dressed. And what we see here is you're to be dressed to please the Lord and not the world, as we saw there in verse 17. And many of you know that. Okay? But if you're not saved here tonight, you don't understand that. And you look at that strangely. Why is everybody dressed like the way they are? But the thing about this, you know, maybe this is not so important to stress in this church, but some other churches, it's very important to stress these 3 points. Right. My wife tells me afterwards, said, man, you should have said some more about that. I would have said this. Hey, now hold up now. She got some wisdom, amen? But I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you. I should not fear those things and go ahead and just put it to it. But you know about dress. Dress to please the Lord, not the world. Your outward appearance, how you look and the way you should look. After I got saved, some people had to tell me, your hair's a little too long, buddy. And they had to tell me because I didn't think it was too long. I cut it, you know, it wasn't like it used to be. But sure enough, I learned how short it needs to be. So why? What's the purpose of that? Because the Bible says that it's the same for a man. Doesn't nature teach you that it's the same for a man to have long hair? So what's the purpose for that? Because we want to put off to this world a creature or a creation that's different than the world. Peculiar people, amen? And try to line it up as much with the Bible, amen? And if your heart's right, if you let your heart to be right, and continue to let your heart be right, then these things will not be a problem. And there's many other areas that we could touch, but dress to please the Lord and not the world, not the rudiments of this world, but those that are of Christ. And I can tell you how you take care of this real quickly. What would Christ say if he was right there with you? If Jesus Christ was standing right there, what would he say? If he's sitting there right there with you, what would he say about your appearance? But not just your outward appearance, but dressed, that's your outward. How about your inward? Dressed in righteousness, it says here in verse 24. Dressed in righteousness, that is a Christ-like in behavior. God has given us his righteousness so that we can get to heaven. Understand that. But nevertheless, we should try to live godly in Christ Jesus. Amen? We should do that. We should try. That's the inward. That's God working inside of us. Because if he can change the heart, then everything else will take care of itself. But he needs to work on that guy inside and suppress that old man, put him down, get rid of him, and let that new man grow and live and survive. Like the two dogs, you know, the black dog and the white dog. You feed the black dog picture of sin and that old man, and the white dog picture of that new man and all that. You feed one, you only can feed one. You got to starve the other. Which one are you going to feed? Don't feed the old man. You feed the old man, the new man's going to get starved. You need to feed the new man. You need to put on the new man. Put some clothes on, dress in righteousness. Find out what that means. What is it to be to have a Now, I'm not talking about self-righteousness. You understand? There's a difference. We need to strive after that in our lives. We need to strive to teach our children to live righteously. So there's things that they don't need to be involved with and doing. Amen. And of course, we as parents need to be examples, not hypocrites in that manner. Otherwise, we'll just waste our time because when they get older, they'll say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from him. Amen? God has given us his word to train us in those things. And then there's that holiness right there. That's the upward. Not just dressed for the outward and for the inward, but upwardly. Because ultimately, and if you can get this thing right here straight, I think the other would take care of itself. If you are living to please the Lord God, so that when he sees you and he's watching you, the eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I have that written on my car, by the way. It's a sticker, and it says that right under the door that you go in to get in the car. That's my anti-theft device. Folks try to come and break in my car, they see that. The eyes of the Lord in every place, behold the evil and the good, so you better watch it. And so when we get, you know, put one on our car and we get down there, well, we better not touch this car because the Lord's looking at us and we don't want to, get in trouble with the Lord, you know. I don't know. But nevertheless, he is watching you. What does he see tonight, brother in Christ, sister in Christ? What does he see? He sees something that we can't see as your brothers and sisters unless it gets pretty bad enough to where we can. and maybe he'll send us by to maybe help you out there. But what does he see tonight? What does he see? Does he see holiness? You striving after holiness? I know we're not perfect, and sometimes we mess up, but then that's why the Bible says we can confess our sins and get that thing right, and that's what he uses preaching, is to open these things up and bring them to your attention so you can say, oh, I didn't realize that that was, oh, okay, I see that. But some of us, you know what we do? We say, oh, I don't think that's too bad. Oh, that's not such a big deal, and we just let it go and let it go, and it just messes up our lives, doesn't it? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Let's not do that. Let's strive after holiness. Amen? Let's be sanctified. That's what sanctification just means. It means separated unto God unto holiness. You say, how far? As far as you can go. I'm not talking about going off and living in the woods by yourself. That's not what God means. He says you're in the world. He prayed for his disciples in John chapter 17, I believe, or 16 or 17. He prayed for the disciples that they would be in the world. But that God would help them keep them from the evil that was in the world. We can't come out of the world. We're here in the world. But we can get God's help to help us to be able to overcome the evil that is in the world. And he says you can do that by the very verse that says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So are you a born-again Christian tonight? Then you ought to have the testimony of being dressed, amen? Being clothed. That he was clothed. He had clothing on him, but it went deeper than just outward appearance. It went all the way in. And that's going to take some time for us, you know, to learn and grow in Christ and be able to keep it and be steadfast in that. And then when some opposition comes our way, we don't change. And we don't say, well, it's not such a big deal. Okay, I'll change my conviction, no problem, to please someone else. No, you ultimately need to please the Lord. If we please the Lord and want to be holiness in everything that we do and try to strive from the highest mark, that'll please God, he'll get glorified, and it'll help you in the long run, and help others in the long run. Amen? So let's do that. There's some things that the Lord has taught me that I watched other brothers and sisters in Christ, and it was difficult because the Lord was dealing with my heart about it, but they didn't see it the way I saw it. Not that I discussed with them or, you know, we got in conversations or debates about it. It's just some things didn't seem right. You know, it just didn't click. And I got in the Word of God and I got tried to get close to the Lord, and he brought me through some things in my life where it had to test my love for him, my desire to serve him. And he showed me that striving for as much holiness that I can have in my life is the best thing I could possibly do. Upwardly, inwardly, and outwardly, being dressed. And then finally, last of all, it says that he was found in his right mind. Boy, this one's very important, okay? In this passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 23, it says this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let me give you another verse to help us along with this. Romans chapter 12. You don't have to turn there. Romans chapter 12. As a matter of fact, if you would, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'll be closing up there. But Romans chapter 12, I like what he says after he says, hey, you know, every Christian in here should desire to offer your body a living sacrifice. Hey, Jesus Christ did it for you, right? That's the least we could do for him, right? Well, that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. But he says in verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I wonder if I were to take an ask of hands tonight, how many here want to know the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God? Raise your hand. I would think so. And you young people that aren't raising your hand, you may not understand what's going on, realize what's going on. But parents, you just help them, okay? Because that's what they need to want to pursue after. There's some young people might even be saved here tonight. Don't know Christ. Maybe there's some older folks here that, you know, listening to me and going, I have never heard this stuff before. What is this? Then there's some of you here tonight that know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, let God have his way. Go after his perfect will. Amen? But it's going to cost you. It's a living sacrifice. It's not easy because you've got three adversaries that are against you. This is serious stuff. I kid you not. Let me explain how serious it is. Why is the so-called man of God called to preach, got training and all that, and then he preaches the word of God, and then as several years, or maybe just a few years down in his ministry, falls into sin, with a piano player or somebody in the church or something like that. What is that? What is going on? That's not a good testimony, is it? And then I could cite many other examples of people that are supposed to be Christians and people that have been good examples as Christians. But something comes into life and it's incredibly out of whack. Maybe not with just them, but maybe with their wife or maybe with their children or something like that. Or with the congregation. Now I understand the congregation have all sorts of people in there. But you understand what I'm getting at. Something's not right there. It's not a good testimony. Well, how can we avoid that? How can we do better than that? How can this church right here do better than that? From the pastor all the way down to that young little person. Amen? How can we do better? Well, let's get a sound mind. Amen? This man was found in his right mind. He was out of whack. Of course, anybody that doesn't follow Christ and his way and his word is out of whack and is a maniac in their mind. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I know that's hard. That's harsh, but it's the truth. If your thinking doesn't line up with Jesus Christ, you're not thinking right. You don't have a sound mind. But he's given us a sound mind. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So the three things that he's given us, and by the way, that's being delivered. You see, when Christ saved you, he delivered you. Did you not realize that? He delivered you not only from the penalty of sin, which is death, in the lake of fire, but he delivered you from a whole bunch of other things too. But it's going to take you getting close to him and let his spirit have his way with you on a daily basis. It's so very important to desire the things of God and do it his way. And to seek after changing and renewing your mind on a daily basis, and of course, let it affect your heart. You know, mine eye affecteth my heart. You know, the things that we see with our eyes, the things that we hear with our ears. Yeah. So very important, folks, to get in tuned with our Creator and do it His way and have a sound mind. Be delivered. Delivered from what? Well, number one, delivered from weakness against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Christ is the only one that can help you do that. Those are our adversaries. And I can give you illustration after illustration in my life where I've needed the Lord constantly to help me in that area, to deliver me from the world, the flesh, and the devil. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. A born-again child of God has something a lost man does not have, and that is the power to overcome sin, no matter what it is, what magnitude it comes in. You have the power to overcome it. But it's up to you whether you're going to subject yourself under this power and let it have its way. Because you look at David. He was a pretty good guy, wasn't he? Not all the time. He messed up a couple of times in some really grave areas. My wife and I were talking about this when we were driving today. She said, you know, if David was here today, that he would probably be crucified by preachers and things of that nature because of his testimony. Wasn't too good, was it? He was a man after God's own heart, but some of his testimony didn't smell too good, right? Let's not look at him and say, well, see, look at David. You know, he was a man after God's own heart. So, you know, we can get away with a few things. Boy, if you've got that mentality, then you don't have a sound mind. Because you're denying the power of God. You can be better than that. You can do better than that. Listen, children, listen. Listen, children, young people, teenagers, your parents may have gotten saved at a later age or something like that, and you may know or heard about how they used to live. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to go out in this world of sin and test it and try it and do all that stuff. You don't have to do that. As a matter of fact, that's not a good testimony, and that shouldn't be your testimony. As a matter of fact, you young people, because you're growing up in this church, you have a power and ability to be something different than some other children that are growing up in some of these broken homes or these other churches that don't give a flip about what God has to say and the way He wants things done. I'm telling you, you've got something here. Go after it, seek after it, and don't quit. But in order to do that, you've got to realize that God is giving you this power, this deliverance from the world of flesh and the devil. Because your flesh is your worst enemy. And you're going to have to work on that on a daily basis. The disciplining of your flesh. The disciplining of your flesh. The world's going to come at you. And you have to be able to deal with that world and not let it suck you in or influence you. So I keep that world and I keep that flesh down. Amen? And that devil, oh, he just walks about seeking whom he may devour. Oh, the devil maybe do it. Nah, most of the time it's our flesh. But the devil, he'll come around from time to time because he can't be everywhere at once. And if you're weak, he'll get you. So if I were you, I'd stay strong and I'd claim God's power and overcome that sin on a daily basis, make sure it's confessed up, make everything's right, and get that power, amen? This maniac was found in his right mind. And that is the right mind to have, is to want to be sin-free. We won't be totally sin-free, but if we do the best we can and shoot for a high mark of being sin-free, it'll help us and help others too. I'm telling you right now, work on that and renewing your mind and your heart. It can be done. This book right here, Fellowship with Other Christians, who are trying to do the same, trying to be examples, follow after them. Find some good examples and follow them. Amen? Amen. There are few and far between. I understand that. Because most people don't want to be delivered from that weakness. Isn't that why you take a stand against TV? I think one of the worst enemies that a human being has, a Christian has. Now, I can understand a lost man because they don't have the Spirit of God, so he's on his way to hell, so watch all the TV you want. It ain't gonna matter. No, I'm really not saying that, brother. There's some ungodly things on that thing. You can watch some ungodly things on that thing. You can see some things on that thing that take up your time. They may not be bad in as far as what we consider evil and wicked, but it can steal your time and it can rob your time. You know all about it, so I don't have to go any further. Besides, I need to quit here. Deliver from false love. He said he gives you not. He hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, lost people, they can love each other, but it's not going to be like the love that Christians can have with one another. I'm telling you that right now. Jesus Christ has brought a love to the human race that surpasses anything this world will ever conjure up or have. No matter if it's physical or some kind of, fake family love or get-together love, unless you love one another and all that stuff. This is a true love, not a false love. So deliverance from a false love is what I'm trying to tell you. And thank God that we have that ability to secure a mind and a heart that can love like we're supposed to. I tell people that. I tell lost people that. I said, look, the reason why you need to get saved is so that you can love the right way. And I said, well, I think I'm doing pretty good. No, you can love much better than that. And, of course, you're talking to people whose homes are falling apart, who are having a hard time with themselves and dealing with other people and being around other people. You know, contention and all these things, you know, strife and anger and all those things. Man, if you get a hold of God's love, you can overcome those things. Jesus Christ will change you if you meet Him and let Him continue to change you. Amen? I'm telling you that right now. Be found in your right mind, not having a false love. Amen? Let your love be without dissimulation. Amen. How are you going to do that? You better get close to Christ and to His Word. And then last of all, about this deliverance from a wicked mind, an unstable mind. And of course, the Bible talks about that in the book of James. And that's what you have, is an unstable mind, a wicked mind, if that mind's not after the things of Christ. But He's given us the mind of Christ. We better make sure that's our testimony. That's found in our lives, that it can be seen by those that are around us, in our family, in our community, in our church. It'll help. That's what God wants. That's why He's left us. He wants us to be a light. He wants us to be a testimony to this world, to each other. And that sound mind is so very important. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. That's what Mexicans need. That's what Japanese need. That's what Russians need. That's what Alaskans need. That's what U.S. citizens need. You name the country, that's what they need, is a sound mind. And the only way they get a sound mind is to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. They need a testimony, folks. They need a testimony. Ephesians chapter 5, I'll close with this if you're not there, as far as wrapping this up. Because we're talking about testimony here, and it's wild how I was looking through this passage of Scripture, and the Lord showed me this. And I'm just going to read the verses of Scripture, and I'm going to challenge you. And then, brother, if you'll come. Ephesians chapter 4, we read the verses. No, I'm sorry. Go back to 1 Timothy. I'm losing my mind tonight. That's what happens when you drive 4,000 or 5,000 miles in 1 week and don't get much rest. But the Lord's helping me here. Go back to 2 Timothy. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 where we read that verse and just looked at that as far as being delivered. See, God, He wants us to be found with a good testimony, sitting, disciple. He wants us to found clothed, dressed, amen? He wants us to be found in our right mind, that is delivered, found delivered. Man, that's what people need to see. They need an example of deliverance so they can see that there is hope and to come to Christ, amen, by your testimony. How about you? Are you willing to pay the price for the testimony? Verse 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Amen. That's it right there. The testimony of the Lord. He wants us to have it. He wants us to go through all that's necessary to go through to have it. Because after all, he deserves it. Because he did it for us. Amen? So it's not just a matter of looking good or trying to look godly so you can please the preacher or please some other brother or sister. It's not that. It's not that. It's to help the job get done that God wants to get done, to draw men unto him, because he loves to see them saved and living for him by their own will. So why don't you go do that so others can, brother?